Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Abdul Nasser Jengda, and you're listening to the Qalam Podcast. Allah tells the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the stories of the prophets are a source of great strength and comfort for the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Therefore, it's important for all of us to learn and reflect on these stories and derive the lessons, the strength, and spirituality from the stories of these great and noble prophets that Allah has given to us in the Quran. Therefore, I'm very pleased to share with you the series that I delivered in the Qalam Masjid, on the Qalam campus, all throughout the month of Ramadan 2024, corresponding to 1445 after Hijrah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this a means of benefit for all of us. Please enjoy the series. Bismillahi walhamdulillah, wa salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today is the 17th, or today was the 17th day, the 17th fast of the month of Ramadan. And the 17th day, or the 17th fast of Ramadan, is something that holds a very special place in Islamic history, because it is the day on which the Battle of Badr occurred. We've been going through, in Ramadan here, our series on the stories of the prophets in the Quran. And inshallah, we're continuing with that. However, I'm going to talk about one of the stories in the Quran from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'll be talking about the events of the life of the Prophet ﷺ that are spoken about in the Quran towards the end of the month. But I felt that it was beneficial to talk about this particular event from the life of Muhammadur Rasulullah ﷺ that is mentioned within the Quran today, even if it be out of sequence, because it is the day of the Battle of Badr. And I'm not going to go into a detailed historical discussion, a recounting of events leading to Badr, during Badr, after Badr, because that would take a lot of time, 4 or 5 hours at the very least. We have a lot of detail, we have a lot of knowledge about the Battle of Badr. Hundreds and hundreds of pages have been written within the books of Seerah, the books of Islamic history, prophetic biography on the Battle of Badr. But I would like to just outline very quickly exactly what it is when we're talking about the Battle of Badr. The Battle of Badr occurred in the second year of Hijrah. That's the second year of the Prophet ﷺ's residence in Medina. When he made the Hijrah and he came to Medina, the second year, the Battle of Badr happened. The Battle of Badr happened in the month of Ramadan. The battle was on the 17th day of the month of Ramadan. The Battle of Badr is called that. Badr is the name of a place. That place is there till today, and it's called Mantaqatu Badr. It's the city of Badr, the area of Badr. And that region, that area, even back then, 1400 years ago, was also called Badr. Badr is the word in the Arabic language which refers to the full moon. And there's lots of theories as to why that area was called Badr, but the most, the predominant theory is that there were these big, large wells out there, and when the full moon, it would be the night of the full moon, the whole full moon would reflect inside the well, hence it got the name Badr. Wallahu alam. Nonetheless, this place, Al-Badr, is about a day and a half or 2 days worth of journey on foot outside of Medina, away from the city of Medina. And what transpired at this time, the Muslims have been living in Medina for about a year and a half. And while they've been living here for a year and a half, very happy to have a home, very happy to have a community, very happy to have a masjid where they can pray freely and safely, the Quraysh of Mecca are not happy with this situation. They are not satisfied with this arrangement. But they resent the fact and the idea that these people believed and that these people did not back down that they remained rebellious to our ways, quote unquote. And not only that, but they went over there, and now their community is growing. Because Islam started to grow very rapidly when they arrived in Medina. There were people, dozens of people accepting Islam every week and eventually every day. The community was doubling in number every few months. And so they resented this fact. And at some level they feared it. And so they were not satisfied with this. So they started launching attacks against the Muslims. There were about a half a dozen occasions where the Meccans sent a cavalry or a small unit, a battalion, to come right outside of Medina to intimidate the Muslims. And the Prophet ﷺ was forced to rally together some of the companions and send them out to go and stand across from them to at least make a show of force and let them know, we're not afraid of you, we're not going to back down. The fighting never occurred. A few arrows were launched, but that was about it. And then they would turn around and leave. But they hadn't stopped at that. They had even conducted raids. They came and they raided one of the gardens that belonged to the Muslims on the outskirts of the city of Medina. And they burned the garden down, and somebody ended up dying inside of the garden. So they were constantly engaged in this intimidation of the Muslims and not letting them live in peace. The Prophet ﷺ, he had a strategy to try to curb this kind of bullying behavior on the part of the Quraysh. And that strategy was that the Prophet ﷺ said, we're going to start intercepting their trade caravans. Medina is to the north of Mecca. Medina is on the route, on the way to what was referred to in those times as Biladu Sham, the Levant. Syria, Palestine, Jordan, these areas. And in fact, the Quraysh, when they used to go for trade, their primary destination was actually Palestine. They would go to Al-Quds. They would even go as far as Gaza. The great grandfather of the Prophet ﷺ, Hashim, he died actually on one of these trade caravans, and he's buried in Gaza. And so they used to have to pass by Medina. So the Prophet ﷺ said, we're going to make them regret bullying us constantly, intimidating us nonstop. We're going to start intercepting their caravans. And their economy depends on these caravans. So then all of a sudden, when it hurts their wallets, then that's the only language they speak. So they had this tactic and they were successful a couple of times. And then they heard the news that there was a very, very large caravan on its way. And the Muslims, the Prophet ﷺ told the Muslims, let's intercept this caravan. They tried to intercept it on its way to Asham, but they missed it. And when Abu Sufyan, who was leading the caravan, one of the leaders of Quraysh, when he realized they tried to intercept us, he knew that, okay, they're going to try to catch us on the way back. So he was already worried and concerned. He sent the word ahead to Mecca, and he said, they're going to catch us. They were already preparing an army in Mecca. So he said, deploy the army. And then while he was on his way back, he deliberately took a very different, unexpected route. And he was able to evade the Muslims. And when the Muslims realized that, oh, we missed the caravan again, right as they were thinking about, okay, I guess we'll just go back home. So this was a group of 313 Muslims. They came primarily to raid a caravan, not fight a war, not fight a battle. And when they realized, well, the caravan slipped away from us again, I guess we'll go back home next time. But then they got the news from some of their scouts. There's a huge army, like a day and a half's journey away. And then as they started gathering the intel, they realized they were 313. The army that was coming was about 1,000. They outnumbered them 3 to 1. while they were here to stop a caravan, a trade caravan, so they were equipped accordingly, the other army is equipped like an army, with armor and artillery and weapons and the like. While the Muslims were very humble and largely in a state of poverty, because it was already a small, poor farm town, Medina, and then you infused into it hundreds of refugees, asylum seekers, Muslims, muhajirun. So poor people became even more poor because they shared everything, half and half. And so the Muslims barely have food, barely have clothes, barely have, some of them didn't have shoes on their feet. They were holding sticks in their hands. And the other army that outnumbers them 3-1 is armed from head to toe. They have entire lavish feasts that they've brought with them. All of this. At that point in time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this in the Quran, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ يَعِدُكُمُ اللَّهُ إِحْدَى طَائِفَتَيْنِ. Allah told you one of two things was going to happen. Either you stop the caravan and get a payday, hit the jackpot, while putting a hurt on your enemy, it's a win-win, or you might end up in a fight. وَتَوَدُّونَ أَنَّ غَيْرَ ذَاتِ الشَّوْكَةِ تَكُونُ لَكُمْ. And you really, really hoped and wished and prayed that it would be the latter, that it would be the former, excuse me, that it'd be the fact that you're going to intercept the caravan, put a hurt on your enemy, take home a payday, win-win. You really were wishing, you were tawaduna would, you so desperately wanted it to be that. وَيُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَن يُحِقَّ الْحَقَّ بِكَلِمَاتِهِ. But lesson number one from Badr. We think all kinds of things, but Allah has a plan. And Allah's plan is exactly what happens. Ya Abdi, anta turid wa ana urid. Wala yakunu illa ma urid. We have a plan, but Allah has a plan. And Allah's plan is what actually occurs. فَإِنْ أَطَعْتَنِي فِي مَا أُرِيدُ كَفَيْتُكَ فِي مَا تُرِيدُ. And if you're compliant, obedient with Allah's plan, Allah says, I'll take care of you. وَإِنْ عَصَيْتَنِي فِي مَا أُرِيدُ أَتَعَبْتُكَ فِي مَا أُرِيدُ وَلَا يَكُونُ إِلْ مَا أُرِيدُ. And if you try to defy Allah's plan, Allah says, I will exhaust you in the pursuit of your plan. But guess what? At the end of the day, what happens is Allah's plan. So Badr is a lesson in that. Allah said, وَيُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَن يُحِقَّ الْحَقَّ. Allah had a plan that the truth should be made clear. وَيَقْطَعَ دَابِرَ الْكَافِرِينَ. And that the enemies would suffer a defeat. لِيُحِقَّ الْحَقَّ. So the truth could be known. وَيُبْطِلَ الْبَاطِلَ. And the falsehood could be exposed. وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُجِرِمُونَ. Even if they did not want that to happen. That is what was going to happen. So the army showed up and it was a battle. So lesson number one, Allah's plan. Lesson number two, we know about the battle. But do we remember what happened on the night before the battle? The hadith, the authentic narration tells us the Prophet ﷺ, they pitched a tent for him at the back of the army. If you visit that place today, we were just there about a month ago. There's a masjid that's built on the spot of the tent of the Prophet. It's called Masjid al-Arish, the masjid of the tent. And Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, in the middle of the night, I went to go check on the Prophet, just, you know, make sure he's okay. And he says, when I walked into the tent, I saw the Prophet on his knees. And he had his hands stretched out over his head. The Prophet would normally make dua like this. But he had his arms stretched out like this over his head. And he was crying so profusely, his beard was soaked until his chest was wet with his tears. And he had like a shawl on, and it had fallen off of his shoulders onto the ground. And he was insisting, and he was crying, and he was saying, Oh Allah, help us. In tahlik hadhi al-isaba. La tu'abad fil ard. Oh Allah, if you allow these people to perish tomorrow, there will be nobody left on this earth that worships you as you deserve to be worshipped. Allah, please help us. Send your aid. Send your help. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu picked up the shawl of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and put it on his shoulders. And then he said, "Amsaktuhu." I held the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam until he kind of calmed down a little. And then I said, "Ya Rasulullah, inna Allah qad sami'a da'watak. Inna Allah qad ajaba da'watak. O Messenger of God, Allah has heard your prayers and Allah has answered your prayers. His help is coming. I know it." And then when they went out into the battlefield, then the promise of Allah, Allah's plan, turn to Allah, and then wait for the promise of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, what did the promise of Allah look like? إِذْ تَقُولُ وَلَدْ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ بِبَدْرٍ وَأَنْتُمْ أَذِلَّةٌ. Allah helped you at the place of Badr, even though you were weak. You were outnumbered, outmanned, outgunned. You were weak. إِذْ تَقُولُ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَلَنْ يَكْفِيَكُمْ أَنْ يُمِدَّكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ بِثَلَاثَةِ آلَافٍ مِّنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ مُنْزَلِينَ. Allah will help you with 3,000 angels descending from the sky. بَلَا إِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا. If you are patient and conscious of God, fearful of Allah, يَأْتُوكُم مِّن فَوْرِهِمْ هَذَا. Right on the heels of those angels, يُمْدِدُكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ بِخَمْسَةِ آلَافٍ مِّنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ مُسَوِّمِينَ. Allah will send 5,000 angels in waves upon these people. And what happened? إِذْ يُغَشِّيكُمُ النُّعَاسَ أَمْنَةً مِّنْهُ. أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ سَكِينَتَهُ عَلَى رَسُولِهِ وَعَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah sent down His tranquility upon the believers. And they fell asleep standing in the battlefield. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, "I dropped my sword multiple times in the battlefield of Badr." Dropped my sword. What does that mean? Only two explanations for that. Explanation number one is not possible. That would be incompetence. Explanation number two is, Allah made them drowsy. And He said, "Wallahi, we fell asleep standing up." There's a funny little interaction, I'll mention it. Later on, decades later, when Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu is in Kufa in Iraq, he's elderly, he's a teacher, and he's teaching people. A young man sitting in the front started dozing off and falling asleep. I know something about that, all right? So a young man started dozing off and falling asleep. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, "Hey, what are you doing? Wake up." You're like studying Quran, tafsir, something. "What are you doing sleeping?" And he said, "Afwan, Sheikh, sorry. Sakina, Sakina." He said, "Sakina? Your cousin Sakina? Right? What's this Sakina?" He said, "This is not Sakina." He said, "Sleeping in the halaqa of the dhikr of Allah, in a halaqa of ilm, this is ghafla. This is heedlessness. This is negligence, my friend. You want me to tell you what Sakina is?" And then he told them about Badr. Sakina is sleeping in the battlefield while the enemy is trying to kill you. That's a gift from Allah. That's Sakina. The Sahaba say, we opened our eyes, we're rubbing our eyes like when you wake up from that, you know, afternoon Ramadan. Y'all know something about that, right? So, rubbing our eyes, and we looked, and more than 70 of the enemy were dead. More than 70 of them were tied up, waiting to be taken into custody. And everybody else was on the run. The battle was over. That's the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the promise of Allah. We believe that. We hope for that. We wait for that. We know that it's coming. And there's one more lesson that I want to highlight. And I apologize, I'm going a little bit late here. Forgive me. But this is a very important lesson. It's not difficult, but it's technical. So please pay attention. When the Prophet ﷺ made the hijrah to Medina, he came to Medina, the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ, Al-Abbas, insisted that there be some terms of understanding and agreement between the Muslims of Medina and the Muslims of Makkah, the Ansar and the Muhajirun. One of the terms of the agreement was that if anybody attacks Medina, we all defend it together. Muhajirun Ansar, everybody. But if any of the two groups goes outside of Medina to engage in battle with someone that they have a pre-existing conflict with, the other group is not obligated to go and help them. Does that make sense? Right. If two people live together, something goes wrong in the house, they both repair it. But if one of their cars gets damaged, the other person is not responsible. That was kind of the idea. The Muhajirun had a conflict with the Quraysh from before. They went all the way out to Badr, and now they're about to engage in a battle. The Ansar went with them because they thought they were intercepting a caravan. But when they found out that it was going to be a battle, the Prophet ﷺ actually conducted a meeting. And he said, here are the facts. We did not come here for a battle, but it is now a battle. What do you think? What say you? And an Ansari stood up, a leader, Sa'd bin Mu'adh, and he said, Ya Rasulullah, we were lost, we were astray, we were aimless, we were rudderless, we were hopeless. You came to us, brought us the light, iman, faith, guidance, showed us the way, showed us how to live life. And we would follow you to the ends of the earth. And if you jumped off the ends of the earth, we would jump out after you. We will never leave your side. And remember, the Ansar did not have to participate in the battle. They could have gone home and they would not have been committing a sin. I told you there were 313 people in Badr, Muslims. Out of 313, 73 were Muhajirun. How many does that leave? Very nice. 240. 240 were the Ansar. 240 of the 313 did not have to be there. They did not have to pick up a sword. They did not have to fight. They could have packed up their bags and they could have gone home. But they said, this is not the moment where you ask, do I have to do this? This is the moment where you say, I get to do this. And Badr happened in Ramadan. In Ramadan, we need to revive the spirit of Badr. Stop asking the question. I need to stop asking the question, do I have to do this? Do I have to pray Taraweeh? Is Taraweeh Fard? Do I have to do Qiyam? Do I have to? Do I have to? Is that Fard? Is it necessary? Is it necessary? And I need to start asking the question, what more can I do? And seize the opportunity. Take the opportunity, the blessing that Allah is granting us. And that is the spirit of Badr. That the Sahaba on that day, they said, Allah has given us an opportunity. Whether we have to be here or not, we are here. And we're not going nowhere. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, that ذهبوا فقد غفر الله لكم. Go live your lives. After Badr, he said, go live your lives. Because Allah has already forgiven you. لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ اِطَّلَ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ بَدْرِ. Allah has given a special mercy to the people of Badr. They were chosen people. And they were appreciated for the sacrifice they made. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the spirit of Badr. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be able to revive the spirit of Badr in this Ramadan. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant a victory, the victory of Badr, to our brothers and sisters in Gaza and all across the world. يا رب العالمين سبحان الله وبحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك